Prayer. Prayer is something that we should all be interested in. Prayer is, the best definition I've heard of it is talking to God about anything, anytime, anywhere. Prayers are written all the way through Scripture, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. If you look at it, you'll find that there are prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of praise to God, prayers for healing. There's also a category of prayer that is rather disturbing. It's called a prayer of complaint, a lament. Richard J. Foster, who is a scholar out of the Quaker tradition, wrote a book some 30 years ago about prayer. I've been drawn back to his words because he seems to hit the nail on the head when it comes especially to this kind of prayer that it's when you're praying and you feel nothing. It's when your prayers don't seem to go any higher than the ceiling. It's when you pray and you pray your hardest, you pray fervently, and yet the response that you get from God is nothing. Our readings this past week have been about prayers of lament, these prayers of complaint. We want to focus on those today because people I've talked through in these days of pandemic, many of them have felt just like that. Good Christian people, faithful, generous. And yet they find themselves in a situation where it's, where is God? Does he care? Is he real? Some would call it the absence of God. We need to be clear about that, that theologically, in other words, in terms of understanding the Bible, we know that God is not absent during these times when he appears to be. It's more of a sense of absence. So we got to keep that clear, but that doesn't help because if you feel he's ignoring you, if you feel that God is absent, it doesn't matter whether it's supposed or whatever it is. It's how you feel. It's where you are. It's your perception. It's your reality. Some people have called times like this something like living in the desert is the way one person described it. And indeed, there are some passages of Scripture, some stories in the Scripture where it does seem that the idea of living or walking or trudging through the desert, it's not just a physical thing, but it's a spiritual problem as well. Some have called it the dark night of one's soul. That seems to define it pretty well. The dark night of the soul. Regardless, there are some observations we need to make about times like this when we cry out to God only to be met with silence. I want you to think along what these kinds of prayers mean and where they're leading. One thing we need to be sure of is we're not alone if you've ever felt this way. There is a major highway, I guess would be the best way to put it. That the idea of God being absent, of him ignoring you, of him not responding to you at all, you're not on a solitary path, but you're on a major freeway of life. The psalmist in Psalm chapter 13, verse 1, he put it this way. He said, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day long? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, 'I have overcome him,' and my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken." It's well put, isn't it? You can relate to those words. How long will you hide your face from me? Will you forget me forever? Well, what about you? What's the nerve? What's driving that kind of thought in your life? The psalmist doesn't really tell us what was going on in his life. But if you look back at yours, and if you've ever experienced such a time, or if you're in the midst of walking in the desert right now, if the dark night of the soul is your constant companion, maybe it was caused by the death of a loved one, spouse perhaps, or a child. Maybe it is just simply a physical illness or something going on in your life that has just seemingly cut off all communication between you and God. Maybe something that happened at work. Maybe there's some failure in your life that you can't seem to shake. You can't seem to get away from it. Or better yet, this is where it really gets difficult. Maybe it's really nothing like that at all. Maybe over time, maybe in these days and months of pandemic, maybe it's just that you find yourself slipping away to where your feelings seem to be numb, because they are. Whatever it is, we need to be crystal clear that God has not abandoned us, that He is not turning a deaf ear to us, and that in these days of the dark night of the soul, or in these days of trudging through the desert seemingly all along, God is with us. He has something to teach us. So if you've ever felt like this, if you've ever complained to God, if you've ever just thrown up a lament and received no response at all, remember, you're on a major highway. But there's something else about this time of life, or this period in a relationship between you and your God. And that is that even though it's a major highway, it's still a tailor-made journey. By that I mean there is no preset timetable for times like this in your life. There's no set of steps, at least that I can see, that you have to experience. Now, I understand that a lot of people, they need to grasp hold of concrete steps or concepts when it comes to anything in life, especially in the spiritual realm. But that's the very point I think the Bible's trying to tell us, is that there are some things that you cannot explain away. You can't get around it. There's no, if you do this and this and follow up with this and that, then you're going to be okay. Now, I understand. I've used that same language before. Call it steps of recovery or steps of a grieving process. I know what is intended there. I've read up on those things too. And though I'm not a licensed professional counselor by any means, I have in my own life had to depend upon some of those broad concepts to get me through. But keep in mind, that's all they are broad, general concepts, because your experience, my experience in times like this, there's no preset timetable. There's no cookie cutter approach where everything is going to be okay. The bottom line, my friends, is we cannot manage God. We cannot tame Him, if you will. God is God. And even though we may think it's like putting a genie or rubbing a genie in a bottle and all of a sudden God's going to appear, that's not the way life works. And to be honest with oneself, we probably understand that all too well. And then there's the simple fact that sometimes when we're crying out to God, hear me here, I don't want to be misunderstood. Sometimes when we're crying out to God, it's probably best that He not appear to us. There's more than one occasion in Scripture where people prayed a prayer, but the last thing they wanted to do was come face to face with God. Over in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 19, right after the giving of those commandments at number 10, right after all of that, it says, "Then they said to Moses," the people, "speak to us yourself, as we will listen, but let not God speak to us, or we will die. Now, friends, I'm not sure exactly what to do with a passage like that, except to say that there are probably some periods of life, some of the experiences that we have in life, they are such that maybe it's best that God does seem at a distance. Maybe there's some understandings we need to come to grips with. Maybe there's some concepts, general concepts that we need to buy into. Maybe there's just a little space here where we need to contemplate why we're in the situation that we find ourselves in. And all I know is that in more than one occasion in Scripture, it was best that people did not come face to face with God. So where does that leave us? Well, think of it in this way. When you find yourself moving through the dark night of one's soul, when you find yourself struggling, when once again, to see, hear someone say prayer is the key and everything changes when we pray. If you don't feel like that, if that's not your situation right now, perhaps it's been just a short while, perhaps it's gone on for quite some time. We need to understand and see that God is still at work. Perhaps in a time of a dark night of one's soul, of walking through this desert experience, we find out that two things happen. One of those things is we are stripped of outside or outward things. During a time when you're struggling, during a time when there's absolutely no real feeling for God whatsoever, to where the emotions are simply not there, you find yourself stripped of outward things, external things, possessions that used to be just captivating and the center and focus of your attention. They're gone. And you begin to see for maybe the first time in your life that you'd been depending upon physical things, of possessions, to bring you happiness, to help you to feel that connection with other people as well as with God. But a dark night of the soul, a journey through the wilderness, walking in the desert, it has stripped you of all those things that you thought were most important. You know, Jesus, when he gave us his teachings, the first real address that he gave, called the Sermon on the Mount, what did he say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. That's true. But maybe it's taken a desert experience in your own spiritual life. Maybe it's taken that to take those external things, those things that you sought after, that you were willing to do anything in order to possess. Now that you possess them, they matter nothing at all anymore. But not only does this time in life, and we've all experienced it perhaps, especially if you're in it right now, you're stripped of outward things, but you're also stripped of inner things. Like what? Well, I can't think of anything like a walk in the desert, like a time when God appears to be absent, when you just cry out to him and he answers you with nothing. It's then that pride matters no longer. That inner sense of self that you always cultivated, that you're always careful to protect in order to make yourself look good in any and every circumstance. Well, a time like a dark night of the soul takes that away from you and strips you of that. It strips one of selfishness. The very thing that may have been causing this feeling of separation from God, to where your prayers were meaningless, where he paid no attention seemingly to all of the things that you're going through. Maybe it's taken something like this for a selfish attitude to be revealed for what it is. Useless. So this time in life, this experience in walking through the desert, crying out and asking for God to say anything, maybe it's taken something like this, and maybe right now your perspective on outward things and inner things has all of a sudden changed. Maybe that's a step toward understanding that God does indeed care, because He does. That psalmist in the 13th Psalm where we just read, and he explained in vivid detail what it was like to feel abandoned by God. Notice that in the latter part of that passage, Psalm 13, 5 and 6, hear what he says. "But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." You notice a change of attitude? I mean, those first four verses, a perfect description of isolation, of feeling that you've been abandoned, and asking God for any word whatsoever and receiving nothing in return. But then in verse 5, what does he say he did? What was the turning point? He says, "I trust. I trusted in your loving kindness." Folks, that's what I want you to grab hold of right now. Foster, in his book concerning this period of life, has a section that's simply entitled, "Get It in Gear." Get in gear. And he likens the issue of trust and faith with the gear shift in your car. He says, and I think he's right on target, that trust precedes faith. Listen to it again. Trust precedes faith many times. He envisioned it like this, that faith in God is like putting your car in drive. Now, you got to use your imagination here. We're not talking about a standard stick shift. But what most of us drive today is automatic transmission, where you've got it in park and then you can go through reverse, neutral, and all the different levels of drive. Discount four-wheel drive, that doesn't factor into the equation. But just keep it simple. Faith is like putting your car in drive and moving forward. But what happens when you can't move forward? What happens when drive doesn't seem to do anything to propel you forward? It doesn't matter. You're stuck. That's what the dark night of the soul can do to a person. That's what moving through the desert, that's what feeling the absence of God in your life, for whatever reason, you're stuck. So what do you do? If trust comes before faith, then when you find yourself in a situation where you can't put your spiritual life into drive and move forward, for whatever reason, you don't put it in reverse. You don't take your spirituality and retreat back. You don't move backwards. But you put it in neutral. And that's what trust is. Trust is waiting on God. Trust is, I can't move forward. I can't get a clear answer from the God who loves me. I know you're there, but whatever this purpose is, whatever this time frame is all about, right now, I'm just simply stuck. I can't move forward. And to that, God says, put it in neutral. Trust me. Trust me. And then what happens? The end result is complete dependence upon God. Now, catch it again. I want you to hang on to this, because if anything at least describes this period of time in my life, maybe it describes this time in your life. Maybe that you've gone through it before. Like I say, you may be going through it now. You certainly probably will as you move forward. And for some of us, it's something that happens not once, but more than once. Keep those thoughts in mind. Yes, the ultimate goal is I want to move forward. I want to grow. I want to pray knowing that God hears my prayers. And I want to obey. I want to feel that sense of His presence in my life again. And when for whatever reason that time comes to you, that comes to all of us, the dark night of your own soul, wandering through the wilderness, the spiritual desert of one's life. Remember, God is not absent. He may appear to be so, but he is ever there. And once you're stripped of the outward and the inner things, if you still can't move forward, if you can't put your life in drive, don't put it in reverse. Don't move away. Put it in neutral. Trust. Wait on God. It'll change your life. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to gather online, to hear your word, to sing together. And Father, as we have heard the description of one who describes our own lives many times, as the psalmist described what it's like to feel abandoned, help us to know that you're with us. And help us in the midst of however long it is, just help us in the midst of feeling that way, of really not feeling anything at all, but feeling abandoned by you. However long that time is, Lord, help us to know that trust comes before faith. So help us, even if we can't move forward, if we can't take those steps, help us to trust and depend upon you. It's all these things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.